Blog Talk Radio.
But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to tune in at 7 p.m. when we will have our Bible class this evening. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same number, 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Amen. What can we ask the everlasting God? You know best what we need and when we need it. You see the end before the beginning, and you know the path we are to take. We ask for wisdom, for you are the great and wise everlasting God. We ask for the ability to slow down and focus our thoughts on you in our daily life. Place yourself on our mind when we wake up each morning, that we might start our day right. Remind us of who you are, so we don't waste the time you have given us. Help us to use our time to advance your kingdom for your glory, for the good of others, and for the fulfillment of our destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my
When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell him who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. Praise be to God. God, our help. You are the God who helps us and sustains us. When we are in need, you are there. When we are alone, you are near. When we don't know our way, you guide us or come alongside us to walk with us as we find it. You are worthy of praise, God, our help. Because your great arm reaches out to help those in need, you provide us with all we need to carry out the purpose for which you have placed us on earth. You sustained us with the kindness of your love, the wisdom of your mind, and the strength of your arm. We adore you, God, our help, with all that is within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson tonight in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. And we hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
All their death, Lord, you're greater. God our help. Please pardon us for the fears we entertain when we don't know how to get through a trial or a struggle. Fear wells up in us as a natural emotion, but we confess we don't quickly chase it away with the truth of your character or with the truth of your word as we should. Please have mercy on us for not expecting your help, but rather having to be reminded that you are truly there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. And now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled Fulfilled Promises. And our scripture reading for this message is coming from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24, and it says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened, and just as I have planned it, so it will stand." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. The first aspect of God's plan, we will look at his determined will, which is what will absolutely, unfailingly be done because he is the sovereign of the universe. We must begin with this foundation because it is the basis for understanding how God keeps his promises. Amen. It is fully within his ability to accomplish anything that he says will come to pass. For example, the Lord God promised to send us a Savior in Jeremiah 31:31-34. He faithfully accomplished this and did so with a detailed list of specifications, such as what family Messiah would belong to in Genesis 12 and 3, Genesis 49 and 10. 2 Samuel 7 and 16, where he would be born, Micah in chapter 5, verse 2, when he would live, Daniel 9:25-26, what he would do, Isaiah chapter 61, the location of his ministry in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, Matthew chapter 4, verses 12-17, and how he would redeem us from our sins, Isaiah chapter 53. And each of these promises was miraculously fulfilled in Jesus, Amen. Praise be to God. This is why you can always count on God to keep his wonderful promises to you. His awesome, all-encompassing sovereignty, absolutely nothing is too difficult for him, but all is faithfully accomplished out of his perfect sacrificial love for you. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you are the all-powerful God. Thank you for keeping your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Fulfilled promises. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play another selection.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
praise somebody. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship his name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before him. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
God who sees us. Through this great name, you reveal your heart in a unique, powerful way. In this name, you remind us that you see us as individuals. You see, and thus you know. When you saw Abraham on the mountaintop and witnessed his trust in you, you provided a ram as Jehovah Jireh, likewise as El Roi. You see where we are, and you respond. Because you see us, we know that we are truly known. To be known by you, to not be forgotten, is one of our greatest needs. So this name comforts us greatly. We praise you because you are not a distant God who sits far off, isolated from those you have made. Instead, you see us, you are with us, and you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. To God be the glory. At this time, I'll play another selection. And I do hope and pray that you are enjoying our prayers and inspirational music this afternoon, this evening rather. Praise be to God. And now I will play a selection by the Wicked Tones. God is sustaining me. Amen.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, this is simple. We're gonna have a church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning, and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God?
Praise be to God, the God who sees us, El Roi. When we feel alone and forgotten, please forgive us for neglecting to acknowledge your name. Forgive us for grudgingly when we don't see, when we don't see what the one who sees us. Help us to remember that you are there. Yes, you are the God who sees us in whatever situation we're facing. Pardon us for failing to see God who sees us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play another selection as we're coming closer to amen.
Thank you. Trust in him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God
you can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry God. Oh, no, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time.
I'm
gonna wait
until my change comes.
Oh, wait on.
God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Now it is time for our lesson. At this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Praise be to God.
It's good to hear that. Good to hear your mother singing. What's she doing?
She's okay. Pastor had to take her to the eye doctor today because, you know, cataracts.
Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't heard anything back yet. So hoping all went well.
Prayerfully so. Give her my regards when you speak with him.
I will.
Anyone else on the line with us tonight?
Besides the people on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube? No, nobody's in the studio yet.
Okay. We'll open with prayer.
Amen.
Precious and most gracious Lord,
yes, Lord.
It's once more and again a few of your humble servants come together at the 7 o'clock hour to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day. A day that we've never seen before. This Tuesday, Lord God, we thank you for it.
We thank you, Lord,
for blessing us, for blessing our families, for blessing our going out and our coming in, for putting food on the table, a roof over our head, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, money in our pocket, Lord God. Things may not be exactly what we want it to be, but praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have what we need. And I am forever grateful for that. And I can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So, Lord, I'm asking you right now to go wherever you're needed, in hospitals and hospices and nursing homes and nurseries and schools and churches and homes and overseas and wars and earthquakes and diverse places where so much devastation is, my Lord. And incidents that are occurring right now, Lord God, if anyone is about to be harmed, I pray that that will be a turnaround right this instant.
Hallelujah.
Peace, Lord. I thank you for doing that,
for sparing
the lives of some helpless victims. So, God, we thank you for all that you are. Bless the pastors, the apostles, the first wives, the children, the grandparents. All of those, Lord God, who are in need of your love, we thank you for bestowing it upon us in such a mighty and a loving way. And God, thank you for everything. All these benefits, all these blessings, all these thanksgivings, I just give in the name of your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer. Praise God.
So we're going to get started. We're on page 296, the Aaronic Priest, section A, second paragraph. We're talking about Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Right. So I'll just start that over because it's a short first paragraph. An Aaronic priest had to be a man chosen by God and qualified for his work, Leviticus 21, Hebrews 5, 1-7. Our Lord, chosen, incarnate, and tested, qualified in his person to be a ministering priest. And we read these scriptures in that verse, in that paragraph. Aaronic priests serve by representing the people of God, and especially in offering sacrifices. Their sacrifices were many, repeated, and not in themselves eternally efficacious. They did make atonement. Did I read this already? Okay, that's where I left the little asterisk.
Okay.
They did make...
No, I said okay.
They did make atonement for sin in the context of the theocracy. But the writer to the Hebrews makes it clear that had they been able to effect eternal satisfaction for sin, there would have been no need for their repetition year after year. And we see this in Hebrews 10, verses 2 through 3. In contrast, our Lord's sacrifice of himself for our sins was a single sacrifice, once for all and for all mankind. In this, his great work of redemption, he did a work that was foreshadowed by the work of the Aaronic priest, even though he was not a priest after the order of Aaron. B. The Melchizedekan priest. I'm sorry about the phone. Let me see.
No, no problem.
Okay. The Melchizedekan priest. The portrait of Melchizedek in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20, in Hebrews 7, 1 through 3, seems deliberately limited to those features that liken him to Christ. The form of made like in quotes in verse 7 and 3, in chapter 7, verse 3, is not an adjective that would indicate that Melchizedek was like Christ in his being, lending weight to the interpretation that he was a theophany, but a principle, a participle, meaning that the likeness is being made by the biblical writer's statement. The features of the portrait are limited to that the resemblance may be more extensive. Any thoughts about that?
So they're saying here that Melchizedek is he's like something like Christ, but not Christ.
Yeah, definitely not Christ.
Yeah,
but he has some characteristics of Christ.
Right.
Right. Do you know any of the characteristics?
Let's see. In my own words, loving, kind, peaceful.
Mm-hmm. And he seemed to come from nowhere. People didn't know his mother, didn't know his father.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We knew Christ's mother, his earthly mother,
yes,
and his, for lack of a better word, his earthly father,
right,
although we know that wasn't biologically, Joseph was not biologically his father.
Yes.
Our heavenly father. But he was kind. He was a priest.
Yes.
He did this thing, and he was mysterious.
Yes.
Amen.
But did they even say where he came from?
No, they don't know where he came from.
Oh, so he just appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to, we'll look at that in a second, but let's read the scripture, which is Hebrews 10, verses
2 through 3 first?
Okay. Hebrews 10. What was it? 10 and what?
10 verses 2 through 3.
Oh, 2 to 3. 10. So Christ sacrificed once for all. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifice under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleaning, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. Amen.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. And the sacrifice of Jesus, starting at verse 1.
Okay.
The old plan is only a hint of the good things in the new plan. Since the old law plan, in quotation marks, wasn't complete in itself, it couldn't complete those who followed it. No matter how many sacrifices were offered year after year, they never added up to a complete solution. If they had, the worshipers would have gone merrily on their way, no longer dragged down by their sins. But instead of removing awareness of sin, when those animal sacrifices were repeated over and over, they actually heightened awareness and guilt. The plain fact is that bull and goat blood can't get rid of sin. That is what is meant by this prophecy put in the mouth of Christ. You don't want sacrifices and offerings year after year. You prepared a body for me for a sacrifice. It's not fragrance and smoke from the altar that whet your appetite. So I said, I'm here to do it your way, oh God, the way it's described in your book. And one more thing. When he said you don't want sacrifices and offerings, he was referring to practices according to the old plan. When he added, I'm here to do it your way, he set aside the first in order to enact the new. What is that saying? He set aside the first in order to enact the new plan.
Meaning that he wanted to do away with the sacrificial of the animals, and then that he will send Christ to be the final sacrifice for our sins.
All right, good. God's way, by which we are made fit for God, by the once for all sacrifice of Jesus, which is what you said. We no longer have to sacrifice bulls and goats and doves and whatever. We have that one-time sacrifice that was good for then, good for now, and it's good for the future.
Forever. Praise
Amen.
Lord. Thank you,
oh,
Jesus.
Thank you. Yes, Lord. You are so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at Genesis 14, 18 through 20.
Genesis.
Might find that answer in there, talking about where he came from. I don't know.
Oh,
Genesis
okay.
14.
All right. Let me get to Genesis 14. And
18 through 20.
18. Okay. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem,
and a priest of God Most High brought Abram some bread and wine. Okay. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. The king of Salem said to Abram, "Give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourself all the goods you have recovered." Abram replied to the king of Sodom, "I solemnly swear to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thrown from what belongs to you. Otherwise, you might say, I am the one who made Abram rich. I will accept only what my young warriors have already eaten, and I request that you give a fair share of the goods to my allies, Aner, Eskor, and Mamre." Mamre?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you.
So he wouldn't take anything from Melchizedek?
No, this is the king of Sodom.
Yeah.
Is that the same one?
Yeah. This is Genesis 14, 18, what you said, 18 through 20, 22, 24.
I'm looking now.
Okay. Hi, Valerie. Miss you. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening, Sister Barbara.
Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm looking up Melchizedek to see if he was the king of Sodom. I don't know if he was the king of Sodom. He was the king. Let me see. Nothing like Googling it, maybe. Hold on a second.
No, Melchizedek wasn't the king of Sodom. He wouldn't take
That's
anything
what I'm
from the king.
Head.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Melchizedek was the king of what? The king. Okay. He was the king of Salem. I knew it didn't sound right. So he was the king of Jerusalem in Salem.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Let me see if it says any more about him. Is Melchizedek also king of Sodom? Okay. This book argues that the biblical figure Melchizedek, mentioned as the king of Shalem, originally appeared in the text as king of Sodom. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The author of Hebrews 7:3 affirms that Melchizedek, he is without father or mother or genealogy. He has neither beginning of days nor end of life. In that sense, he's like Jesus, where he has no beginning and, no end.
Uh-huh.
Right. So he continues, since forever. Scholars argue that the author was on Genesis 14, 17 through 20, which introduced Melchizedek without the customary identification of his clan. So it seems like they're calling him the Melchizedek
when they're calling him the king of Sodom.
Okay. Okay. Site of where Ruth and Salem site
was the king of Salem.
Jerusalem. Yeah.
I don't. That's confusing. I don't
yeah,
get
it. Tell me about it. Okay. By those statistics where Ruth and Salem, site of the future Jerusalem occupation, king of Salem and priest of God Most High. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognizes this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in the battle. Okay, so he was the king. He was not the king of Solomon. That's what he said. He didn't want to take anything from the king of Sodom because then he would say that he made Abraham rich. So Abraham didn't want that. He's like, nope, no, thank you. You keep what you have.
One second, always blessed the lesser poor person. Those priests get a tenth, but they are only men who live and then die. But Melchizedek got a tenth from Abraham and continues to live. As the scriptures say, now those from the family of Levi are the ones who get a tenth from the people. But we can say that when Abraham paid Melchizedek a tenth, then Levi also paid it. Levi was not yet born, but he already existed in his ancestor Abraham when Melchizedek met him. The people were given the law under the system of priests from the tribe of Levi, but no one could be made spiritually perfect through that system of priests, so there was a need for another priest. I'm trying to see where they talk about Sodom.
Yeah. Why did they even do that?
This is talking about chapter 14, verses 1 through 25. We have to, we'll read that on our own if you care to. Hebrews 7, 1 through 25, not Genesis, okay? We'll look at that at another time. But in the meantime, Melchizedek, or Melchizedek, however you want to pronounce it, is who we're looking at right now. So the Melchizedekan priest. We're on page 297. Deaconess Valerie, if you're with us.
Thank you.
The portrait of Melchizedek in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20, which Evangelist Hilda read, in Hebrews 7, 1 through 3, seems deliberately limited to those features that liken him to Christ. The form of made like in quotation marks in Hebrews 7 and 3 is not an adjective that will indicate that Melchizedek was like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In his lending weight to the interpretation that he was a theophany. What is a theophany? T-H-E-O-A-N-Y.
I had it. It's like a human, humankind of God or a God.
Okay. Double check it.
Yeah, visible manifestation to humankind of God or a God.
Theophany. Here we go. Okay, it's a visible manifestation to humankind of God or a God. So okay. He was a visible, like Christ, he was a visible representation of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is a theocracy? T
T-H-E-O-C-R-A-C-Y.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You mean the same word?
No, Theophany is what we just got, who's a human representative of God.
Yeah.
And Theocracy. Is a government run by one who follows religion or who follows God. So instead of in a democracy, we have laws and, you know, we can change things as a people. We can get together and change things in a democracy. But a theocracy, T-H-E-O-C-R-A-C-Y, is a government that's run by one person or many clerics, usually some religious somebody, who is following God and therefore guides the people through the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But a participle meaning that the likeness is being made by the biblical writer's statement. The features of the portrait are limited so that the resemblance may be more extensive. So they didn't get into being too specific about the resemblance between Melchizedek and Christ,
right.
As they said, it would the resemblance may be more extensive than what they're talking about. They just gave us a brief, you know, taste of what they were trying to say. But we got the idea that he was looked upon like a god because he had don't know where his mother was, don't know where he came from, don't know who, you know, he just kind of appeared. So, next paragraph: features of the Melchizedekan priesthood include these. One, it was a royal priesthood. Melchizedek was a king as well as a priest. The uniting of these two functions was unknown among Aaronic priests, though predicted of Christ in Zechariah 6 and 13. So let's take a look at Zechariah 6, 13. Valerie, you have your Bible?
Yes.
Let's take a look at Zechariah 6 and 13.
Okay.
Near the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah.
I'm at 6 and 13.
Okay.
Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both.
Amen, amen. What do you think about that?
I think that talks about Jesus and the Lord when he's resurrected and he sits on the throne with God and talks about the peace that they have in both them.
Okay. Let me read mine. It's, thank you. A message from God of the angel armies. Be alert. We have a man here whose name is Branch. He will branch out from where he is and build the temple of God. Yes, he's the one. He'll build the temple of God. Then he'll assume the role of royalty, take his place on the throne and rule, a priest sitting on the throne, showing that king and priest can coexist in harmony. Amen.
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 Let's go on. Number two, it was unrelated to ancestry. Without father, without mother, Hebrews 7 and 3, which we read already, does not mean that Melchizedek did not have parents, nor that he was not born or did not die.
but only that scriptures contain no record of these events, so that he might be more perfectly likened to Christ.
Hmm.
Aaronic priests depended on their ancestry to qualify. What does that mean?
They put their quality to qualify. I don't understand what he mean by that.
Valerie, can you help us?
You said something about the ancestry.
I didn't understand you.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay, I was saying that it says that I'll read it again. Number two. It was unrelated to ancestry. Without father, without mother, Hebrews 7:3. Does not mean that Melchizedek did not have parents, nor that he was not born or did not die, but only that the scriptures contain no record of these events, so that he might be more perfectly likened to Christ. Aaronic priests depended on their ancestry to qualify. So I'm saying, what do you get out of that? What does that mean?
When it happens like that, it just makes me think that, you know, God, he's got a true calling because, you know, most of the time it depended on the ancestry, the first born male child and the family that it was born in. But this king, he's king without a history of you know, we didn't know if his father was a king or his mother, he came from royal family, you know. But that's really a chosen person.
A chosen person, right. So we don't know anything. The Bible doesn't say anything about his parents. And it doesn't mean, as it said, that he was not born and that he did not die. But that normally to be an Aaronic, following Aaron, to be an Aaronic priest, you had to have that genealogy. You had to be a part of the tribe of Aaron. Right? So he's not in that group, just like Jesus Christ was not
right.
in the group of Levi, or, you know, he wasn't in the priestly tribe. He came from what tribe?
Solomon.
Did Jesus Solomon. Come from? Who? What tribe did Jesus come from?
Oh, David?
Well, yeah, but the tribe of Judah. Okay, so he came from the tribe of Judah, and they were not priests. So when they looked at him, they could see that he was not from a traditional, he wasn't from the Levites, okay, which was the tribe of the priests. But even though he wasn't from that, he still came with authority. Amen. Because he was authorized by who?
The Father.
Gave him the authority.
Mm-hmm. The authority of the Father.
Right. He got the authority from God. From his
yeah.
Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Number three. So in this timeless, having no recorded beginning or ending, so Melchizedek might again be more like the Lord, who is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Number four.
Mm-hmm.
It was superior to the Aaronic order. Abraham, out of whom came the Aaronic order. What does that mean?
The Aaron, the priesthood of Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham,
what about it?
Abraham came from that era. Only the Levites was the Levites the priests?
Yeah, the Levites were priests. But so, explain this Aaron and Aaronic order.
Mm. I don't know.
Okay. All right, I'll read it again. It was superior to the Aaronic order. We're still talking about Melchizedek. Abraham, out of Abraham came Aaron. Right?
Yes.
Because Aaron came along with his brother. Who was his brother?
Moses.
Right. So they came after Abraham. So this is what it's saying. That okay. Abraham was the forerunner of Aaron. So Abraham came before Aaron. That's all it's saying. Acknowledged the superiority of Melchizedek when he gave tithes of the spoils of the war, Genesis 14 and 20. Mm-hmm. Levi, though unborn, and all the priests that came from him were involved in this act that demonstrated the superiority of Melchizedek. So we read in 14:20. What did we read about that, Evangelist, you recall, or you want to read it again?
No, I have to read that again because, you know, my brain, they don't
okay,
stay.
14:20, Genesis 14:20.
Okay, 14:20 says, "And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you."
Okay, so the part I was looking for was where the king of Sodom had offered him a lot of things.
Oh, that's
and he said, I ain't taking that because if I take that, you're going to go and tell everybody you bestowed riches
yes.
upon me because you are rich. You know what I said? The devil is a liar.
Yeah.
Okay? So we will take what the soldiers ate.
Yes.
All right? And
mm-hmm.
that's about it. Not gonna put that out there on us that you gave us riches. Come on now.
Exactly.
But anyway, that part. Genesis 14 and 20. So la la la. Next part. In what ways does Christ function as a Melchizedekan priest? Like Melchizedek, he is a ruler. He
mm-hmm.
receives out of the obeisance. Obeisance. What does that
mean?
He receives out obeisance.
Obedience?
No.
He receives
we bow down to him. Our
praise.
We worship him.
Worship.
Right. We worship him. And let's
okay.
double check that.
I worship.
You there with a salary or beefing?
Would you say something? Did you ask me something? I'm nodding off. I'm sorry. That's who I was. Okay.
You're nodding off.
What was
okay. I said, what is
what
obeisance?
Was it? What is
let me find it. O-B-E-I-S-A-N-C-E.
Obeisance. He knows everything.
No, I'm gonna Google it. Never mind. For now, let me find it, and then you can tell me, okay?
Okay.
About it. Obei.
Deferential
respect. One moment.
Mm-hmm.
Obeisance. Okay.
respect. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Homage, worship, adoration, reverence. So, you were going to say something?
No, I was just telling you what it was.
Well, then you were going to say something.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do, find the definition of it.
Yes.
To be certain. I don't want to just, you know, throw what I remember out there. I want to get specific. So he receives our obeisance. What does that mean?
Respect. Deferential
right.
respect. They
obedience.
Them.
Our honor.
Honor and respect.
Our submission. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's more like a bowing down to him in reverence.
Yes.
To him. To his
yes,
title. All right. Respect. Mm-hmm. And therefore, obeying.
Yeah. Like what they do when the queen would come, they would curtsy. So that's like a respect, giving her respect.
Even deeper than that, because it's about worship.
Yes.
They don't want to worship the king, the queen, or the king.
Mm-mm.
You just worship God. Don't even Amen. Worship the Pope. Worship
mm-hmm.
God.
That's right.
So some respect, of course, but not about worshiping him. All right, obeisance. The wind has turned my page. He blesses us. And as Melchizedek offered bread and wine to Abraham to refresh and sustain him after the battle, so our Lord as priest refreshes and sustains his people. He did this, for example, to Stephen at the time of his martyrdom, or martyrdom. His martyrdom. What is that, his martyrdom?
When they killed him, he was
right.
The first
martyr.
Gave up his
mm-hmm.
life. Yep.
So our Lord was standing to sustain Stephen at 7:55. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to ask about the homework.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did the people to do it?
Yes. Here we go. Let's stop right there. Okay.
Ms. Valerie, you have yours?
I'm sorry, no. I don't think I was
there
last
week. What happened?
The homework was, what is the rapture? And I found I said that the rapture is the event where Christians are caught up into the heavens to meet the Lord Jesus. It is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I don't know if you want me to read it.
You can. It's just one verse or it's a lot?
It is a lot. It's for 4:16 to 5:2.
Read a little bit of it.
Okay. First, I got it right. I had it. Here it is. Marked off. 4:16 says, For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. Amen.
All right. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Valerie, you have any thoughts about that?
No, you just mean. Sorry. No input. I'm just listening.
Okay. Did you learn anything from that, Evangelist?
What, the rapture? Yeah. That, you know, we have to be prepared, and because Christ can come back at any time. It could be today, right this minute, or whatever, but we have to get right and be ready for when
all
he
right.
comes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking at obeisance. It means obedience, as Valerie was saying.
Uh-huh.
Obeisance.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, getting back to the rapture, I learned something, and I'm going to read mine, and then I'll discuss what if we have time. So what is the rapture? There are many Christians who believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ will be in two phases. First, he will come for believers, both living and dead, in the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. In this view, the rapture, which is the transformation and catching up of all Christians, dead or alive, to meet Christ in the air, will be secret. Will be secret, for it will be unknown to the world of unbelievers at the time of its happening. Didn't know that. I thought everybody would see it, right? The effect of this removal, in the absence of multitudes of people, will, of course, be evident on earth. So when it happens, a lot of people will be removed from the earth. Then, second, after a period of 7 years, tribulation on earth, Christ will return with his church, the saints who were raptured, and this is in Matthew 30. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, 1 Peter 1:13, and Revelation 1:7. He will be victorious over his enemies and will reign on earth for 1,000 years, the millennium, with his saints, the church. And this is taken from the Bethlehem Evangelistic Association. I didn't know that when the rapture came, it would take up the living and the dead believers. I always thought that it was just living.
Oh.
All right? I was always saying, you know, I would love to still be alive when we're raptured. But he takes up the dead as well as the living.
Right. That's what they were saying, that when the dead will rise first and they will be caught up, and then the living that's in Christ will be also be caught up. So we are all going together, dead and living.
But when they said the dead will rise first, that wasn't normally talking about the rapture. The dead in Christ will rise first. That wasn't necessarily talking about the rapture. They didn't call it that, as I've heard it.
Right. But the rapture...
That's what I'm saying. I haven't...
Yeah, the rapture is not even in the Bible, they say.
That's what they say, but then they're referring us to certain places, like 1 Peter 1:13. Let me take a look at that.
Okay.
Revelation 1:7. 1 Peter.
1 Peter what?
1:13.
Okay.
You getting that?
Yeah, 13 says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. That's 1 Peter 1 and 13.
Okay, when it's revealed to him.
So they're telling us that we must live a holy life if we want to be caught up in
this. Right. And if we die before it happens and we've lived that holy life, we'll be raptured anyway.
Amen.
And this one is 4 to 7. You got like 2 minutes. I'm going to assume this is where it starts in Revelation. It says, glory and strength to Christ who loves us, who blood washed our sins from our lives, who made us a kingdom, priests for his Father forever. And yes, he's on his way, riding the clouds. He'll be seen by everyone. Those who mocked and killed him will see him. People from all nations and all times will tear their clothes and lament. Look at that.
Oh,
now,
wow.
But I just read in the Bible says that every eye will see him. But what I read from Google said that only the believers will see him. So, I mean...
That's because the other ones, they'll be busy, drunken, and partying and everything. They won't even know when he comes.
But the Bible says every eye will see him.
Okay, then we go with what the Bible says. Because
of
the
course.
Bible is God's word.
I know that.
Mm-hmm. So we go with what the Bible says, not what the other Google says.
All right, so we're going to end it right here. It's now 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Valerie, you ready to take us out in prayer?
Valerie, you still with us?
Yes. Yes, I'm right here.
Can you take us out in prayer? Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you from your we know how. Asking that you pray for one another, Lord God. Each and every member that calls this time, edify us with the true word of God, Lord God. Empower us, Lord God, to allow us to live a life that is lined up with the word of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, touch everyone, Lord God. You know our needs, you know our wants, Lord God. Help us to be achievers and continue to edify us in this word in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Valerie.
Thank you for that prayer on our behalf.
Valerie, can you put...
Next week, okay?
What, we got homework for next week?
Well, no homework for next week.
Yay. Okay. Val.
But,
can you put...
But you can't...
Valerie.
Go on.
Valerie, you hear me? Oh,
yes.
Can you put... Can you put John Irish on your prayer list for this week?
Yes.
Yeah, he's that's my brother-in-law. He found out he was since Friday was coughing up blood and vomiting blood. So my sister took him to the hospital and they found out that he has cancer around it on the lungs.
Ooh.
Yeah, but then there's a problem because he has a tumor in his head. So they wanted, you know, just pray that they can either treat the tumor with the chemotherapy. Yeah. Or they would have to do the surgery to take it out. And if they do the surgery to take the tumor out, it could be complications because he's on blood thinners. He's on blood thinners, and he could have a massive stroke on the table. So, I tell you.
Yeah, well, you said John Irish?
Yes, John Irish.
How old is he? How old is he?
He's 72.
Oh, wow.
He's a year older than me.
And you said he's your brother-in-law?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't say ex. I just say he's my brother-in-law.
Okay.
Yes. I think I had him on the list before. I'm not sure, but if you check, you may see his name there.
Okay. That's
Thank you so much. Much.
Evangelist, I sent a tithe this morning.
Oh, you mailed it out this morning?
Tithe.
Okay. So I should get it by the end of the week.
Right.
Yes.
I tithed
my
first paycheck in August. So I'm going to send another in August.
Okay.
Val, you going to join us tomorrow for our lesson?
At Wednesday, I'm going to try, sure.
And
Wednesday, I'm
on Zoom. It's on Zoom.
What? Okay. Okay. I think I'm done with the bags. If I put anything else in it, I'll probably burst open.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. You are really working hard on those things.
Okay.
Okay, then.
Yeah, we
got to
get a date so we can come together. We got to get a date so we can come together and pull names.
Right. Well,
you know.
Our Bible, the other Bible class, we had to postpone the cookout because so many people are away and whatnot. So, but they moved it from the 19th to the 30th. Oh, the 30th is a weekday, a Wednesday.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know about that, but I'll see. Anyway. Ladies, enjoy your night.
You
and
too.
If you're going out, stay safe. Love
no, not
you
tonight.
God bless.
Love you very much. Love you both. Stay safe. How's your dad, Valerie?
Yeah.
Wow. He went back in the hospital, but he's not alive. We want to get him in a nursing home, but I got a call from them today saying that he's not in agreement with that.
Oh,
boy. Doesn't want to go to the... All right. Well, he's in our prayers.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, he can stay in his home and have a home attendant. If he doesn't want to go in the nursing home, because you can't force them. You know?
Right.
It
might not be as easy said as you say it.
Yeah.
Anyway. I wish him well. Y'all be blessed. Have a beautiful night. Love you much.
Love you much, too. Much, much, much. Love you, Val. We keep in
touch. Love you, too. You, too. Love you, too.
Okay,
have a blessed one.
Okay. Okay.